Okay, so that's Bob Atkinson, Real One. Bob, can you just give us your date of birth and where you were born, please?
20/6/1925.
And where were you born?
Kennedy Street, South Wilson.
In Cumbria, is that?
No, Lancashire.
Okay. And were you an only child, Bob? Or?
Yes, I was only child.
And what about your mum and dad at that stage?
Well,
what were they doing?
Dad worked at the ironworks when I was remembered. Hmm. But he was a farm servant before that.
A which?
Farm servant.
Servants?
Hmm.
What does that mean, farm servant?
Farm service.
Oh, service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Farm servant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of farming.
Yeah. And your mum, did she work at all?
Yes. She was in private service in a big house at Islay. She was born at Islay. Mm. Well, born in Askamal Islay, somewhere in that region.
So does that mean both your mum and dad were also born and bred Lancashire people?
Oh, yes, both.
Yeah.
Father was Gagabeth Ullison.
Okay.
He was born.
Okay.
And I met at Ramsard.
Okay.
They were in Moodle in farm service at the same time. Hmm. Same this place my dad went to. Hmm. After he'd come out of the war.
Okay. And I was going to ask that next, actually, when your dad came out of the war. I was going to say, was dad in the services?
He was in King's Own infantry.
Yeah. And does that mean he was in the First World War?
First World War, yeah.
Did he see any action there, as far as you know?
Yeah. Only 3 times and gassed.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you remember as a child talking to your dad about those times?
I remember him talking to different folk about it.
But not to you?
Well, he used to see certain things about it.
Yeah. So there was a background right through as far as you can remember.
Yes.
With your father and hearing those things.
Yeah, my granddad was into old volunteers.
Mm.
He was at Dombey Brum.
Right.
In volunteers, but he was in South Africa. World War.
So there was this sort of military history as far as your family is concerned. Okay, so what are your first memories then, Bob? You've given us your birth date. What are your first memories, early memories?
First thing I can remember was sitting on my grandma's doorstep, firelight, bonfire time. And there was a girl that died over 2 years older than me, and she had some Bengal matches. We were striking me back in Bengal matches. That was my first memory. I'd be about 3 then.
Right.
Because my grandma had come to live with us when I was 5.
Mm.
And they lived at Timber Hall, Ireland.
They're also local, is that?
Ireland, yes.
Mm. Yeah. And what about, so you were 3 then, what about, did you go to school at 5 in those days?
3.
You went at 3?
3, yeah.
Yeah, and
I remember going to school.
What about those early thoughts of going to school?
Used to walk and come home for dinner in about half a mile. Hmm. 4 times a day, they met only one step into school. And that was when my mother brought me in. She had to sign me, you know, the age and all that thing. Date of birth on the register.
Hmm.
It was Sunside, South of Wilson.
Right.
It's still gone, but it is the disabled.
Oh, right.
The Mongol and, you know, children with disabilities.
Mm. But I suppose, what were you taught in those early days of schooling?
Playing.
Yep.
Counting with beads.
Yeah.
Writing, learn to write on a slate with a slate pencil.
Yeah, because you couldn't write then at the age of 3, presumably.
No, they were learning. They were learning lesson. Always wore clogs.
Oh, right.
Wearing clogs then. Everybody wore clogs.
Mm.
Mm.
So then you progress through your school days and through your school years. Yeah. You get a bit older at school, don't you?
Yes.
And you've got the same routine, presumably, back and forth.
They went there till they were 11. Then we went to Victoria, on in town, to a mile away. And then we went down today again. Come home to the middle, go to school mail.
And at that, so you're 11, but at that school, are you thinking of, or are you concentrating on different things at school? You know, your lessons? And
woodwork. I used to like woodwork. Yeah. I like geography. But I wasn't too exceptionally good at that. Only woodwork. I think in geography, I was top of class with both of them. Mm-hmm. But English, and that was reasonable with maths. Played football.
I was going to say about sporting things.
Yeah, football. Played football at school. And I used to go with them to cricket, but I was mainly the scorer. I have that again at school, but on the regular. It was like a stand-in.
So that's the age of 11. And that took you through, so at this stage, what year would this be?
1936.
Is there any, at this stage, at that age, are you aware of anything happening overseas and what's going on overseas?
The first time I remember was when we were about 13, there was a boy come from Czechoslovakia. That would be 1938. He worked in England, I wouldn't say full time, but he used to come to England on some business or some business or working, you know, to do jobs, contracting, I don't know. But he came to school and the story, he stayed on. To learn English way, because he had no chance of going to a grammar school or nothing. He had the money without having to leave Czechoslovakia. And that was the first thing, really, I took a lot of notice. I wonder why he'd left.
Yeah. Nothing was said at that stage, it was just...
Not a lot. It just he said that his father left the country on account of the troubles, and that was when the signed the treaties and
signed
it with Hitler.
Your mum and dad weren't talking about those things, you know, clouds on the horizons or anything like that at that stage?
Well, mother was a bit worried. She was a bit worried about them.
Yeah. So let's go a bit forward, because that's about 1938, did you say?
Yeah. Left in 39. So.
Yeah. What about a year later? Sort of possibly about 39.
Yeah.
Year 39, because that seems to be a year when things started to happen.
When I left school.
Yep.
I left school in August. July.
Yeah.
And left on the Friday, started to work on the Saturday post office, telegram man.
Right, okay. Did you have any, before you left school, was that the idea, that was where you would go to work?
No, I wanted to be a mechanic.
Oh, I see.
But it was a bad time to leave, you see. They could leave at Whit, leave at Easter, they could leave at Christmas, and all vacancies were full. From the garages.
Yeah, so you tried that first, presumably, to get the work.
Yes, I've been going now, and I just had to get the job to come to, and there was a young boy who was telling them that he died with peritonitis. That was he got his job, I think, in Easter at the post office, and he peritonitis set him, and he'd in hospital, and we died, and it did it out about 3 weeks before the term.
Yeah.
Anybody wanted to, you know, put in for this young convert to the post office.
Yeah.
So I didn't want them to do a note. So I put my name down and I got the job.
You didn't fancy, because you said you liked woodwork and you were good at woodwork, you didn't fancy going into carpentry or anything like that?
No, well, at the time my father was working on the building trade and they started doing ready-made staircases in that they used to come on wagons. They were just started. Ready-made window frames.
I see.
When he first was on the building trade, Johnny used to make them.
Mm.
And he used to say to come and ready-made them workshops.
Mm. Yeah.
And he said, don't. Went it, because if you finish up, you'll be wood fitters. He said, you'll not be a tradesman. He thought he would have come quicker what he did.
So you took your dad's advice, really? You took your dad's advice?
Yeah. It was wet time off. Mm. If it was bad weather, you got no money.
Right. What were you earning, by the way? Can you remember your first job?
11 shillings.
11 shillings. So, yeah. So in today's terms, that's about 55 pence or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 55 new pence.
55 pence.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were doing that for maybe a year, and then the outbreak of war.
39. September.
Yeah.
July last. 29th of July, I think it's 30.
Oh, right, okay.
And it was 1st of September, war broke out.
Something like that. What do you remember of that, Bob?
Oh, working all hours.
Before the working side of it, I meant the reactions at home and your reactions.
Well, glad you were going. There were a few reservists, you see, in the port of Britain. They were getting there. They got word before it actually broke out. They had to report back. They said, Ian, both of it in them days, it was, so I would say at least half a dozen, and we were only a small office.
Okay, Bob, you were talking about reservists, were you, or something?
We were only a small office, and there would be at least half a dozen got took away. You know, they got the papers.
Mm.
And then after that, we started taking telegrams to the express letters, not telegrams, express letters.
Yeah.
To the reservists in August and around about.
Yeah. So, so the war started. What about your mum and dad now? Are they showing any anxieties about, you know, you're a young man?
Yes, well, there was. My mother was worried. And I think my dad just calmed her down by saying, oh, it'll be over soon. But he knew it wouldn't be over soon.
With his experience?
Well, with his experience. He said that about First World War.
Hmm.
How quick it would be over. And when he saw the way they went through Poland, and then when they come through France, he said, we must have now. He said, would they stop them before?
Yeah.
He said, because they're plenty of artillery.
Yeah. Were you, obviously interest, I suppose, showing interest in the news that was coming from, you know, the war news and so on, or was there much happening at that time?
We had no wireless. We used to go next door to listen to news. My dad used to like to listen to news every night, 9 o'clock, and he used to give a knock on the wall when he was coming up news time. The Scroggum, Grandma Scroggum, we always called it, used to give us all the person. She'd go help him, we're nursing and that.
Mm.
And she used to give us a knock. Her son was living at the home, he had a wife and a couple of kids. He was a barber in town. And they used to knock and we used to listen. Dad started getting.
Had the BEF gone abroad at the stage?
Yes.
It had done.
When we used to listen to new,
Yes.
And then before Dunkirk, when the. On about retreat, he couldn't understand it.
Hmm.
kunde understand it.
Because
when they were going through with armor, you know, leaving, going through, he said, they would have cut them off. In the first part, they would have let them through and then closed the gap.
Yeah.
But he couldn't understand, like, a tank by jump stopping.
Yeah. And it was, I suppose it was an altogether different style of warfare to the warfare that you'd had experienced.
Yes, well, he'd experienced trench warfare.
Mm.
But that's what they used to do, is to come in one sharp place and let them come through and cut them.
Yeah.
Stop them like that.
Yeah.
And then they run out of ammunition, they could do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could stop as long as they wanted to use in ammunition.
Yes.
That was what he said, let them go through and stop second lot.
So, your call-up time must have been getting quite close, because what ages were they calling up at that stage?
We registered at 17 and a half. Called up, you had your medical about 17 and three quarters, and you were called up right up here, I think. But my birthday was June. I was called up in July.
Mm-hmm. Of which year, Bob?
43.
So that, let's just go back a bit then, because 43, the evacuation at Dunkirk had happened.
Happened, yes.
What about that? What was said in your family, or what was being talked about regarding that?
Started worrying when there was talks of Germans invading. My dad was in the Joint Voluntary Fire Service, AFS, because he wasn't fit for medical service, military service, for the medical ground. He was to join the AFS. He had a brother named the Army Fire Brigade.
Yeah.
His older brother. And he said, come on and join Avalon. I want him. So he joined the AFS.
So there's this general feeling of anxiety.
Oh, yes.
not just in your family, but generally.
Generally. They possibly started its own on guard.
Right.
The stretchers, everything. We had containers, tin hats. We're still a young lad at tin hats. Still have mine out there.
Right. But then the fear of that, before you join up, the fear of that subsides, doesn't it? That invasion thing.
Yes, oh yes. Or when when he went along when the Battle of Britain was on, and that tried to put a bit of a sprog in wheel, made him think.
Yeah.
The news was a bit better.
Yeah. Okay. But then eventually you get your call up papers, is that what happens?
Yes. I still have them.
You still got them?
Still got them, aye.
Yeah. And and then your mum, what's your mum's thoughts and your dad's thoughts about that?
Well, my dad didn't say much, he just said, don't go into infantry, whatever you do, lad. But then no option.
You didn't have a choice?
No choice whatsoever.
Right.
I believe after I went in, there were, in our area, there were letting Bevin boys, they were asking for Bevin boys, but they never asked me. They would say there's a stalker in the Navy or the Army.
Would you just explain what those Bevin boys were, Bob, please?
Coal mines.
The coal mines. Run down coal mines. But they give them a chance, because at the beginning of the war, they never stopped them going. They were volunteering, and there was reservists in the coal mines, and they were called up as normal. They never thought they'd gone on so long, and they were short of coal miners.
So your dad's reaction was, don't go into the infantry.
Don't go in the infantry.
What was
the artillery.
What was your mum's reaction?
Don't go at all. I don't want you to go at all, I should say.
Yeah, because you're the only child, you said.
I'm the only child. You couldn't have any more after me.
Yeah, yeah. But of course you had... Yeah, but of course you have to go, don't you?
You have to go.
So then after that, you get your papers, then what do you do? What happens?
I had to depart by 12 o'clock. We got the 9 o'clock train from Ulverston.
To where?
Farnby.
Mm-hmm.
Freshfield.
Mm-hmm.
19th ITC.
Yeah. And then...
Before noon.
Before noon.
Get to be there before noon. So, if you were a long way away, I trained, the doctor said very early. I studied at 9. I'm not so bad.
And what's the procedure then, Bob?
You do well ticket, you know, you about you. Just go on train. I actually went to go on train with a lad going back to Iceland with a postman. And he was stationed in Iceland. With Paula Birdie.
Mm.
So I went to first the Jack Copstap.
Mm-hmm. But when you get there, what's the procedure when you get there? They give you a nice cup of tea, do they?
No, they have to go. They were ready with needles. But 1, 2, 3 injections and a vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, 2 in one arm and a vaccination and they injecting it to them.
Mm.
And you just lined up and got down. They start you went to pick your kit up. Oh, they give you the book in first and give you a pair book, which I tell that. And book you give you a number. And then after you got that you got your injections.
Okay. Because by this stage at this stage the medical has already happened.
Oh yes, we're with medical at Dalton.
Mm.
Even 3 months before.
Mm. Okay, so now do you feel now you're in the army now, do you feel?
Yes, you got your uniform, it didn't fit, but you got it. Got two uniform and blankets and all the equipment.
And then what? Then what happens?
Back here, your NCO was there, you know, you were put into, what's they call them, companies.
Hmm.
Training. I don't know how many there would be. There was 2 hours full anyway.
Hmm.
So that's 60.
Hmm.
Trained together, you had a sergeant, a couple of corporals, lance corporals. And they were showing you, or telling you, must remember your rifle number.
Your rifle number?
The rifle number and your own number.
Yeah, that's. I was going to ask you that. What is your number, Bob?
Right, 1465-2633.
Right, okay. You don't still remember your rifle number, do you?
I've got many.
Okay.
I've got many, right, different rifles.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, sorry.
If you were put on the brain gun, they took your rifle off you. Right. But when you went, they didn't give you chairman back.
Got it.
Oh, I must have half a dozen rifles.
But what about now your training in the army? You've got your kit, you've got your uniform, your training starts. Is that what I would...
That was one of the first things around you.
Is that what I would know, in terms of being square bashing?
Yeah, no, well, they like you to salute, you know, properly.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to turn your head with an officer. You know, if it was on your left, you turned it into your left.
Mm.
If it was on the right, you turned it to the right.
Mm.
But I believe it first, well, they used to salute with both hands, but that had been stopped.
So how did they teach you to salute? What was the procedure for that?
Longest way up and shortest way down.
Yes, okay.
Longest way up, shortest way down.
Yeah, yeah.
and look at the officer when you salute him. Whichever side you are, you have to look at him.
And, yeah, so you've got now marching drills.
And then they started to give you marching. Marching. And then rifle drill, you know, rifle drill. Marching. Then fitness. You have PT every morning. And you go to gym. Do some gym training. And, Friday was supposed to be recreational day.
Oh, you can do a spot of painting and
No, it wasn't. It was athletics.
Athletics.
I got landed on the 7 mile run. And there was notable 100 yards. It was a good sprinter.
Yeah.
And I was landed on the 7 mile run.
But you're a young person. You're only 18 at this stage?
Yeah.
So oh, you're young, you're fit, so I guess you can run that sort of distance.
Didn't walk, then. No, but you run off the square, down the road, alongside the camp, up to your right, going towards the sand dunes on Formby Beach. You need about 2 miles along that. Sand about... foot and a half deep. So you knew you'd done the wrong.
Yeah, toughened you up, I suppose, yeah. And improved your fitness.
Yes. You got, they were different. They were different, but I happened to run it well, so I was put down to do that every week.
Yeah.
I only did the field sports once. That was my first one. I did field sports. That was jumping, throwing javelin, sprinting, carrying somebody on your back 200 yards, high jump, long jump, shot putting, all them sorts of things, you know, like field sports.
Yeah. Yeah. So you worked in a battalion at this stage?
No, you were in a training company.
Training company, yeah.
Training company.
Yeah, okay. What about weapons training, Bob?
Yes, we did weapon training. Used to do that in the hut. It was a bad day. If it rained, you'd do weapon training.
What did that consist of?
Taking the brand to bits, putting it back, and then the blindfold you had to learn to do it there. After you had done it a few times. Used to strip it right down, take everything out. And when you finish, you could take a brand to bits, the lot, and you could put it back in there.
Did you do the same thing with the rifle?
Yes, we did it with the rifle. But there wasn't much on the rifle to do, to take the bolt out. You didn't take the firing pin or the extractor out like that, but you didn't on the brand, the extractor and that. Didn't take firing pin out then, but took the extractor off and extract the thing and the gas operator, the valve operating. Change your gas for your return piston. Turned it from, there was 1, 2, 3, and 4, and there were different sides all. The gas would come back to blow your piston back. And there were more on them. You had to keep your rifles clean. There was plenty of rifle inspections. No dusting and no coming.
What about firing? Firing the weapons?
Well, we fired with the 2-30 there.
Okay, 2-2, yeah.
2-2, yes. And there were... The First World War shot the Enfield was a 2-2... I don't know what it was called, it's sleeve. A sleeving. We did that in the indoor range, 25, 50 yards.
Yeah.
Indoor, and that was your first... That had no kick.
What were you firing at, targets, Bob?
Targets, yes. You fired at targets. In the like his character. And we did 10 rounds. We did 5 on one target, and it brought it up, and then he did 5, they put another on and fired 5 again.
And then did you progress to firing the other weapons? One.
Well, we had to go to Alka. We met to Alka to fire on the big range.
Where was that?
Alka.
Alka.
Yeah. Alka, the word.
Okay, yeah. How far was that one?
Up to the end, Joe, I don't know, but I know you had the bags. It's a bit of a way.
Yeah.
It's where they were the local police.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
So but we did 200, 300, 400, and then I think it was 600 yards firing with the rifle.
And that was which rifle?
The Mark IV.
Enfield. Lee Enfield.
Yes.
303, do I know that as?
303, yeah.
Yeah. And, and what was your reaction the first time you fired that?
Well, we knew it would kick, but it wouldn't have had any effect, it would have been right.
And was it an accurate weapon?
Reasonably, but you only had 2 sights.
Mm.
It was 200 yards or 400 yards, you had to judge yourself.
Mm.
I mean, if you could get them on it. 200 yards, you could get it.